Good morning. I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission for Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014. First of all, may I turn to the secretary to confirm that we have a quorum?
Confirming quorum.
Thank you very much. Next item, under Chair's report, I would just like to note that MTC's biennial transportation award ceremony will take place this year on the day of the October Commission meeting, which is Wednesday, October 22nd, at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland. And as the event approaches, we will be providing more details. But I can tell you, having reviewed the nominations, there are an amazing number of citizens and around the Bay Area who are devotedly contributing their volunteer and professional efforts to improving transportation for Bay Area residents. So it'll be an honor to celebrate and recognize them in the fall. As always, the Commission's presence at the award ceremony is a very important part in making this event special and lively and a meaningful program. So I look forward to all of you coming. It'll be preceding this Commission meeting, and the Scottish Rite Temple is just a short distance from here. So we'll help people get to and from that meeting. So also as a reminder, August, there will be no standing committee or commission meetings this month. So it'll provide the opportunity for staff to get a lot of the important work done without having to also deal with commissioners. So we look forward to having that month. And then we'll be back with our committee meetings in September. I'd now like to turn to our Policy Advisory Council report. The Council Chair, Kathleen Baker, is she here today? Okay, with that then, we will get that report at the next month and turn to our Executive Director, Steve Heminger, for his report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. I don't have any personnel changes to report this month, but there are a lot of them afoot. As you recall, you approved several new positions in the budget in June, so you'll probably be seeing a lot of those in the fall when you come back. In terms of events, let me mention most of these. There's not too many of them. First of all, the Transportation Research Board, and I sit on their executive committee. The big news there is Bob Skinner, their longtime director, sort of like the Larry Doms of TRB, is retiring. So it's a big deal because he's been in that position for such a long period of time. And so our committee now is in the process of recruiting candidates to take his place in time for the January meeting next year. The Richmond Bridge, as you know, we are pursuing a series of multimodal improvements to that bridge for motorists as well as bicycles and pedestrians. We had a meeting in Sacramento that I think was quite productive with the Secretary of Transportation, Brian Kelly, and the Caltrans Director, Malcolm Dougherty. And I think we've got a path forward on all of the projects. We don't quite have all the money yet, but I think we've got a plan, and I think that's the first step to getting money. So we will keep you posted on that because some of the projects, at least, can be accomplished in fairly short order if we can get the plan implemented for the rest. Thirdly, on that page, I mentioned an op-ed piece that I wrote for the Sacramento Bee, and as I think you know, it's probably not my habit to write such responses, but the Bee has been a frequent critic, as you know, of the new East Span of the Bay Bridge, and their latest editorial, it struck me, really crossed the line because it contained several just simply factual errors, and the reporting they've done simply didn't support the editorial policy that they were advancing, and I tried to point that out. So that's in your packet. I apologize. I think the original editorial, we didn't get the second page in there, but you can look it up online and decide who made the better case. The Congress in Washington is slowly, I'm not sure, surely, but they are moving toward dealing with the trust fund problem. I think one of the encouraging things, frankly, coming out of the mess is that there is now, I think, increased editorial attention and quite a bit of media commentary on a subject that usually the media doesn't really care a whole lot about. I think the most enjoyable one is one that Jon Stewart did on his Comedy Central broadcast a few days ago, and it started with, gee, I didn't know Rhodes had a trust fund, you know, as if they're rich, and it went from there. But the tenor of all of it is highly critical of the Congress in taking this much time to just put a Band-Aid on the problem. If they were taking this much time to actually fix the problem, it would be another story. So in terms of the Band-Aid, the House of Representatives has passed a Band-Aid that will last until May of next year with a lot of general fund hocus-pocus. The Senate is expected to act soon, but there's still no schedule of when they will act. And I think they're all supposed to be going home for several weeks of a well-deserved vacation at the end of the month. And the Senate, unfortunately, appears headed toward adopting a slightly different form of hocus-pocus. So they are probably going to get into some form of chicken, as they have on several major issues, to see, like, who's going to adjourn last, and that body will have the last say. I still think it's highly likely that they will patch something together to keep the trust fund solvent. The other partisan issue, as I think I've informed you, is that I think the Senate Democrats have an interest in making sure that the Band-Aid doesn't last as long as May of next year. I think they'd prefer that the Band-Aid expire at the end of the year, which would put some pressure on the lame duck session after the election to maybe do something long term. We'll see who gets the final say on that. I included in your packet a letter that USDOT put together, including the current secretary, Mr. Fox, as well as 11 former secretaries of transportation. It's a fairly pointed letter to the Congress about why they're not doing something more serious about the problem, from obviously Republicans and Democrats who've held that position. Turning the page, I'll just mention Brian and our team were back in New York selling some bonds, most of them refunding bonds of some of our older debt as well as some new debt. And I think the encouraging development is we were selling about $1.4 billion in debt, and we had over $7 billion in order. So BATA bonds continue to be oversubscribed, and that allows us to keep the rates as low as we can. So congratulations to Brian on that. Yesterday we had a meeting here about the Olympic Games, and I think you're aware that from time to time the Bay Area is seized by a form of Olympic fever, and we decide whether or not to bid for the Games. There are actually two rounds of bidding. The first round is whether the U.S. Olympic Committee will forward an American candidate for the international competition, and they have not decided to do so yet. We expect they'll decide to do so toward the end of the year. Before even that, somebody in the Bay Area needs to sign a letter saying we're willing to host the Games, and in this case that would be Mayor Lee of San Francisco. He hasn't decided whether to do that either, but assuming he does and assuming they do, it appears that we are in the running with three other cities, Los Angeles, Boston, and Washington. And if the USOC decides to bid, they will forward one of those four cities, we believe, into the international competition. The international competition is likely to be pretty fierce. Berlin seems to be the odds-on favorite. The new IOC president is from Berlin, so guess what? They've got a leg up, but Paris is interested, Istanbul, Durban in South Africa. I think there's quite a bit of interest in broadening the scope of the Olympics. Obviously, it's coming to Rio for the first time to South America in a couple of years. So we'll just see how that goes. We had a good attendance from all of our transportation partners, so I think we could put on a good show if we get that far. And finally, the map of the month, which is to Rosie's right on the wall. This is the shaker map, you might say, about seismic potential in the United States. And the large map there is of California, and I think those fault lines are probably well known to you. That's the San Andreas and the Hayward in our region. The news is maybe more related to the inset, which is the rest of the United States, because the U.S. Geological Survey has increased the seismic risk for places outside of California. The one that is in the southeast corner of Missouri, that's the New Madrid Fault, which is maybe as bad as ours, and some of the worst earthquakes in North American history have been there, not in California. And the one in South Carolina, I don't know what that one is. Maybe it's Fort Sumter. Who knows? In any event, that's the map of the month, and I'll also remind you that we'll be having quite a few vacations among the staff in August while you're not here. When you call, you'll get somebody. You just may not get the person you're used to. And we look forward to seeing you again in September.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. I'm glad that you didn't say that staff is going to be moving to those white areas and those blue areas. The Central Valley looks pretty good right now looking at that map. Okay, I'd like to ask if there are any commissioner comments, starting with Commissioner Kinsey.
Thank you. Just a couple of things. First of all, on the federal side of funding for transportation, you know, I remember about 5 or 6 months ago pushing on the fact that there needed to be a bigger voice, because it seems that almost everyone agrees. If you get AASHTO agreeing with bicycle coalitions, with MPOs around the country, that we started to have what I thought was momentum. You know, I remember, Steve, you were even saying, well, you know, there's not much we can do. And then you see the Chamber of Commerce, and you said, well, the Chamber of Commerce has always been for this. But now we see, you know, a dozen directors of the Secretaries of Transportation. I'm just suggesting that between now and when they finally do take action next year, that somebody, and I don't know whether it's AMPO or who, but there, it does seem to me that there is enough interest around the country that we who have a self-interest in this as well, ought to be trying to organize the message and being at least being a partner to that, and certainly encouraging those who are in Washington to get the unified voice. And you know, my goal would be just index the thing. I mean, if we could get that and no more, that would be a huge help. So that's that. On the federal level, bringing it back to our state, I wanted to thank you, Steve, and Bijan, and Andy, for joining our chair and myself to talk about the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And although it's about a bridge that connects my county with her county, it's also about design exceptions. We were really pressing the case with Caltrans that they're impeding the ability to get more done by holding out for a certain design standard in all situations, and that they needed more flexibility. I think that's an important message. We also were talking about getting access to more statewide shop, and I think that that's something that serves our whole region if we're able to pull that off. So thank you for the bridge, but thank you for the larger effort there as well. Beyond that, I did want to just say that, and this goes a little bit beyond your report, but I had the privilege of listening to the Planning Committee meeting, which was shared with ABAG back on July 11th, and there were a number of comments by one of the representatives from Marin County, and I just wanted to be a little bit more expressive of my point of view for the commission. And that is that I think that if we get past the sort of anti-Plan Bay Area kind of mania, and we listen closely, there are some important messages there that I'm listening to. One is that good design and community context are critically important. You know, nobody wants stack and pack is the term they like to use to smear the whole thing. But good design is a really important thing. Community context is really important. The other thing is, resources. Of course, we don't want to be building more Bay Area, if we don't have the water to serve it. On the other hand, I think we have our water agencies have 20-year plans, and we need to get them to explain to all of us, you know, where they are on that. But that's a reasonable thing. And then, you know, a lot of people complained about the process, and I think at this table here, we felt the process was pretty painful, too fast, but it was what we had to do because SB 375 put us on that course. This next time round, I think we as a commission have a real opportunity to make that process much more engaging, much more understandable, and then we will continue to be able to illustrate that local control is there. But, you know, where I might part with my colleague from Marin who spoke for ABAG is I think this plan is right. I think that the communities that are voluntarily stepping up deserve the resources, and communities like Marin that seem to be resisting these ideas, you know, need to understand that it will let go of those resources in order to hold on to that perspective within local control, and that's the way it ought to be. So that was a pointed response to some of you who were involved in that discussion, but I appreciate the chance to speak about it.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey. Are there any other commissioner comments? All right. With that, then, I'd like to return to our Policy Advisory Council report and invite Kathleen Baker to come forward. Welcome.
Good morning, Commissioners. Pardon my tardiness. I wanted to update you on the Policy Advisory Council's July meeting and also make mention of the Equity and Access Subcommittee meeting that day, which took up the state framework for distributing cap and trade revenue and resources in the future, and just really say that the Equity and Access Subcommittee strongly agrees with MTC's concerns around the communities of concern definition adopted by the state and would encourage MTC's ledge staff to pursue, really continue to pursue that conversation and see if we can work with the communities of concern definition that we have developed in the Bay Area, which we feel is incredibly robust. Moving on to formal agenda for the Policy Advisory Council, we took up the 2015 TIP, and while there are concerns about some of the methodologies and really getting more up-to-date data integrated into the equity analysis and just the general methodologies in the TIP for looking at project performance, we understand that we're waiting on some of the survey data that was forthcoming and that a lot of these surveys are really intensive in the data processing. So the most recent travel survey, for example, was not included. And the Policy Advisory Council would just really like to continue working with staff to ensure that fine-grained data is incorporated in that or that guidance is given to counties and transportation agencies to incorporate finer grain data that reflects, again, the local context that we keep hearing about. And then lastly, moving on to the countywide transportation plan guidance that's being developed for the congestion management agencies, we really are pleased with how that process is moving forward and that there have been opportunities for additional input both from the congestion management agencies as well as from the public. We really think a lot of the performance measurement work that was developed around Plan Bay Area provides good guidance for at the county level, understanding a new way of looking at performance assessment and really making sure that our investments are meeting our goals, not just in terms of congestion management, but really in terms of more effective connections to our new land use investments and greater just mobility and choice among all of our communities. So we're really looking forward to seeing that guidance be finalized, and generally it was a very positive meeting. Those were really our two bulk issues to be addressed that day.
Great. Kathleen, thank you very much for your report and for your continued advice that the council provides. We really appreciate it a lot.
Thank you for the time.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Moving on to our consent calendar, are there any items anybody would like to remove from the consent calendar? That was moved by Commissioner Kinsey. Seconded by Commissioner Tissier. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Next item, we'll move on to committee reports. I'd first like to turn to the chair of the administration committee, Chair Tissier.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The Administration Committee met on July 9, 2014, and referred the following item to the Commission for its approval. MTC Resolution Number 4155 approves the Title VI program, which MTC is required to submit periodically to the Federal Transit Administration, as well as the Department of Transportation of the State of California, which is Caltrans. The program demonstrates how MTC is complying with federal government requirements of non-discrimination in MTC policies, programs, and activities, and is prepared in a response to FTA Circular 4702.1b. The program describes major efforts undertaken by MTC during the last 4 years that form the basis for assuring that its continuing planning and programming activities are non-discriminatory on the basis of race, color, and national origin. I move approval of MTC Resolution Number 4155.
Thank you. Is there a second? Moved by Commissioner Pierzynski. Are there any questions of staff? All right. I have no public comment card, so with that, I'll call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on now to a report of the Programming and Allocations Committee, I'd like to turn to Commissioner Glover for that report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Program and Allocation Committee met on July 9th, and two items are before you today for action. First, MTC Resolution 3925 revised and 4035 revised. This provides $27 million to the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District to fund Golden Gate Bridge Suicide Deterrent System. The funds are available from project savings, additional revenues, and other project changes in the Freeway Performance Initiative program and the Cycle 1 and Cycle 2 federal program. I move approval of MTC Resolution 3925 revised and 4035 revised.
Second.
Thank you. And that's moved by Commissioner Glover, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. I have a number of speaker cards. So, if there are any questions from the Commission, if not, I would be honored to invite the speakers who have come today to speak before the Commission on this item. To come forward, first of all, I'd like to call on Joe Wire, and he'll be followed by John Bateson.
Thank you very much. My name is Joe Wire, and I am the CFO of the Golden Gate Bridge District. I am here, obviously, to offer my support and thanks to the Commission for reviewing this, and we obviously offer our strong support for this program. I want to thank the Commission for its strong support of the Suicide Deterrent Project from its very beginning. As you saw in your report, the funds that were put forward for its this environmental study, and then again for the design, and now to support with the rest of the community, the district, and the state, the construction of the project. I'm here on behalf of the board. We strongly supported it, and the staff, and that goes all the way down to the frontline workers who are very encouraged that this project will go forward. I want to assure you that the district has put it at the forefront of all of its construction projects, and it'll move it forward as rapidly as possible. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your comments, and I know you're here in case we have any questions. So please have a seat, and we'll thank you. Our next, I'd like to call on John Bateson, and he'll be followed by John Vidori.
Thank you so much. My name is John Bateson. For 16 years, I was executive director of a crisis intervention and suicide prevention center here in the Bay Area. My awakening moment relative to Golden Gate Bridge suicides occurred on my second day on the job. At that time, members of a local artist guild came into the agency and replaced all the paintings on the walls with new paintings. And as soon as they left, staff went around and removed any painting that had any representation of the Golden Gate Bridge on it. When I asked why, I was told that there were a number of people in the agency's grief counseling program who had lost loved ones to the bridge, and seeing it depicted on the agency's walls was a painful reminder of their tragedy. Until that moment, I hadn't really thought about the impact of Golden Gate Bridge suicides, even though I've lived in the Bay Area my entire life. I've had that luxury. I wasn't personally impacted. Since that time, I've come to know family members, first responders, and witnesses to bridge jumps, who in many respects are as traumatized by what they see as the family members, albeit in a different way. My view of the bridge changed dramatically at that time. Far from seeing it as beautiful and grand, I saw it as heartbreaking and death-inducing. I wrote about this in a book titled The Final Leap, which I know that some of you have read. The point of the book is that many suicides are preventable, and a suicide deterrent on the Golden Gate Bridge will save lives. That's a proven fact. Research demonstrates around the world that reducing access to lethal means is one of the two most effective ways to eliminate suicides. The other is to provide more additional training to medical responders in suicide prevention. There's a myth that people come from all over the world to jump from the Golden Gate Bridge. In fact, fewer than 5% of bridge fatalities live outside California. 85% are from the Bay Area. This is a public health safety problem in the Bay Area as well as in the state. And I'm really appreciative of MTC's initial support for funding for this project, and I encourage you to complete that funding cycle and make the bridge safe for everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Thank you for coming today and for your leadership and bringing this issue forward to the public through your research and writings. Next speaker, John Vidari.
I'm John Vidari with San Francisco Suicide Prevention. And we've been working with the impact of suicides on the Golden Gate Bridge now for decades. And it all started back in 1937 when the bridge constructed a 4.5-foot railing on the sidewalk on the bridge. And because of that low railing, there have been over 2,000 known suicides from the bridge. Not everybody leaves a note behind. Not everybody leaves a car behind in the parking lot. So there's been over 2,000 known suicides. We would like to thank the MTC staff, Steve and Randy and everyone, and the board in terms of considering this issue before you of funding the suicide net on the Golden Gate Bridge. And I just hope that maybe when you retire from the MTC staff, or step down from your term on the board, that you look back at today and to your vote today, and that you were responsible for saving lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Erica Bridge.
Erica Brooks. Erica Brooks.
That's okay. Great. Thank you, Erica. Erica
no
Brooks.
Problem.
Welcome. Thank you.
My daughter, Casey Brooks, 17 years old. She was not counted in the people who jumped off of the bridge, even though she was on video jumping, because her body was never recovered. Casey was a strong person. She started her life as a fighter, being born as an abandoned 3-pound, 1-ounce preemie, living in a packed Polish orphanage until she was a little over 1 year old. Receiving her as our adopted daughter was the greatest blessing in our lives until then. Excuse me. She worked hard and grew into a caring, ruthlessly honest young woman, a good student, and a person who wanted to be the change in the world. Suffering bouts of depression, unaided by therapy and psychiatry from middle school age, Casey lost her battle on January 29, 2007, when she drove to the Golden Gate Bridge that stormy morning. And jumped in the darkness of 6 a.m. just as we were waking up to take her to school. We died that day with her, and I'm not exaggerating. A little bit of all of those who knew her and loved her died that day. This is the aftermath of suicide for all suicide survivors, and this is why we don't want it to happen to anyone else, not even to our worst possible enemy in the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you very much for being here today. I'd like to now call on John Brooks.
Good morning. I'm John Brooks. I was Casey's dad. I just like to reflect this morning on where we are. We are number one in a category that nobody wants to be number one in. We are host to the number one suicide destination on the planet. Not one of them, the most, by a long shot. And I hope that we can start construction on the net as early as next year. And as I said the last time I was here, this will inconvenience people, and you'll probably get nasty letters that range from that range from ignorant to downright nasty. And I can show you the buckets and buckets that I have, and probably Dave Hull has as well. But I look forward to the day when this is done. People will get over it. They'll get on with their lives. And we'll get the first report that we've all been waiting for that says that for the year X, whatever that year is, there were no deaths from the there were no suicides from the Golden Gate Bridge. And I think that's something that everybody in this room can be proud of. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brooks, and thank you for coming today. Our final speaker on this is David Hull.
My name is David Hull. I'm a representative of the Bridge Rail Foundation. I'm also a survivor. We lost our daughter, Kathy, 26th of October, 2003. A common theme in testimony until June 27 was that without a net, they're stretched as far as can be seen into the future, an unending number of preventable deaths. With your vote today, you can put into place the largest single component in the funding plan that will build that net. With your vote today, you can turn that unending metric on its head. You can save an unending number of lives as far as we can see into the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming today and for your sustained effort and on this. And with that, I have no other speaker card, so I'll close the public comment period and bring it back to the commission for comment and action. First of all, I'd like to turn to Commissioner Kinsey.
Thank you, Chair Wirth. This is a final step in a long journey, and I feel really grateful as a representative of the county that anchors one end of this bridge. The coroner is primarily responsible for reporting on this to our board and the public. It's an important day, and I am deeply grateful for the folks who've persisted in educating all of us along the long road. I just wanted to take a moment to recognize that our former Commissioner Tom Amiano did an outstanding job in Sacramento making the case for the state's involvement in this. He wasn't the first. He was along the path, but he was really very helpful, and I wanted to thank Tom for that. Also, I think our bridge board, the Golden Gate Bridge District, has shown that they not only put money in the game, but they made the kind of important but difficult decisions to change the policy of previous boards in order to complete this. And I want to thank current commissioners David Campos and Scott Weiner for participating in that discussion to make that that important change happen. And then I want to acknowledge that in the world of transportation, as in the world itself, it's all about choices and priorities. And for us as a commission, if we go forward today, and I certainly encourage us to do so, there will be projects that have to be put on hold, including important projects in Marin County and Alameda County. And that doesn't shrink my interest in seeing this happen today one bit. It's the right priority. So thanks to all involved, and I encourage our commission to follow through on this last step to get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey. Commissioner Campos?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey, for your comments. I first and foremost want to thank the families who have been advocating for this for a very, very long time, and this is truly, indeed, a long time coming. We can't save the 2,000-plus people that have perished at this bridge, but we will be saving many lives. And as I've said, when we voted for funding at the Golden Gate Bridge Board of Directors, that was one of the most important votes that I have taken as a commissioner, as a director, and I believe that this is one of the most important votes that I will be taking as a member of this commission. So many people have helped to make it happen. Commissioner Kinsey talked about Assemblymember Amiano and the amazing work that he has done over the years. But today I especially want to recognize this body, the MTC, for always being open to being a part of this solution, being a partner with the Golden Gate Bridge. And I especially want to thank our Executive Director, Steve Heminger, and his staff for finding very creative ways of getting to an outcome that addresses this problem. We wouldn't be here without that. So I'm very proud today. And again, thank you to the families.
Thank you, Commissioner Campos. Yes, Commissioner Weiner.
I also want to, again, as I did in committee, thank everyone who made this happen. This is so long overdue. And unfortunately, there is a lot of misinformation out there about suicide and the whole notion that if they don't do it here, they're going to do it somewhere else, where we know the studies completely refute that. It's really just, as I mentioned in committee, if we had a private building where 20, 30, 40, 50 people a year were jumping off of it, off the roof of it to their death, we would absolutely demand that private property owner immediately put some sort of barrier in place to stop that. This is really no different. This should be this is a iconic positive symbol for the Bay Area, and it shouldn't be marred by these suicides. I will say, in terms of the comment that was made earlier about some of the things that you hear from the public, the morning that we voted on this at the Golden Gate Bridge Board, I posted on Facebook a Chronicle article and said that I supported the suicide barrier, and some of the comments that I received on Facebook, it was just I'm used to hearing a lot of things in politics, and nothing really surprises me anymore. But I was absolutely floored by some of the outrageous comments that were made. So it's unfortunate that there still is this perception that if people want to kill themselves, just make it easier for them to do it. And we know that that's the opposite of the truth. So it's great that we're moving forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Weiner. Commissioner Glover, any additional comments?
That's Commissioner Hagerty.
Oh, Commissioner Hagerty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I often make fun of my chairmanship back many years ago when really I presided over congestion pricing, and there wasn't a lot of money to spend on projects. But I think if I look back now, I think one of the greatest things of my chairmanship was the ability to meet Mr. Hall. As I said in committee a couple of weeks ago, one of my colleagues, Supervisor Carson, asked that I meet with him when I was chairman of this agency, and which I did. And his story is tragic. And being the father of five kids and understanding that you're never out of the woods with children as you're trying to raise them, because I guess as you leave, you don't know what other children are doing to them in relationship to bullying, different things. So I guess I would just say, now that I think the light went on for me today, that maybe my chairmanship wasn't lost. We got this going. And maybe now I can look back and say that actually, while I was the chair of this agency, something great got started.
Thank you, Commissioner Hagerty. I wanted to take a moment, too, before I offer some final comments, really to turn to our executive director, who offered some very profound comments at the committee meeting. As you know, all of our items come to committees before they come to the final commission, and I wondered if I could turn to our executive director and ask that you kind of offer some of those same comments again so people participating in the commission meeting can have the benefit of those.
Well, one thing I would like to say, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your extending this privilege to me, is to pass along the thanks that you've given to me, to Ross McEwen, especially on our staff. You know, Ross didn't work alone on this. Ann Richmond, Alex Bachelman worked on it. But Ross has a real flair for finding money for unusual projects, and this is certainly an unusual one. And I'd like to just finally and briefly express my great pride in your ability in this case to look beyond the institutional barriers and friction that sometimes gets in the way in our region. The fact is, this bridge is not owned or operated by you. It's owned or operated by somebody else, and we certainly partner with them on a lot of things. We collect all their money, for example, but it's their money. It's not yours. And I think the fact that you've been willing to partner with the Bridge District, not only on this project, but on the median barrier, on Doyle Drive, which is its southern approach, is one of the best cases of regional thinking that I can myself think about. So I this is one of those days when I'm proud to work here, and I'm proud to work for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. And I would just like to echo the comments of the commissioners and our executive director in expressing our thank yous. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Capio, were you, I had you for public comment.
Yes.
Item 10, at the end of the meeting. We're not finished yet. I just would really like to extend again thank you to everybody that participated, to, you know, Commissioner Hagerty as chair, who took the leadership role and said, we need to look at this. This is a very compelling issue beyond what transportation agencies normally do, and it's that change of thinking that's so important. This was a cooperative effort by our federal representatives, our state representatives, our regional and our local representatives. And thank you to our commissioners that are on the Bridge District and to the Bridge District for your leadership in making this happen, and to all of our commissioners, MTC commissioners, who served, you know, currently and before us, who felt that this was a very important project to complete and kept the process moving forward step by step with each piece where funding was needed to keep it moving forward. And really, finally, I really want to extend on behalf of the commission, our appreciation to the families who took their pain and deep, deep agony to create the barrier so that families in the future will not have to experience the pain that you all have endured. And I just want to thank you very much. You know, I have the honor of knowing John Bateson from Contra Costa County. He, in doing the book, I think as Commissioner Weiner said, there are a lot of misconceptions about suicide, and his book provided a very solid record and is it presents the perspective that how we can prevent suicide and how bridges, it's a very spontaneous act in many ways, and there are many ways to prevent it, and one of the primary ways is our action today, which will provide the final funding piece to make this barrier happen. But I want to close just by really expressing my deep appreciation to the two executive directors that worked so darn hard, Dennis Mulligan and Steve Heminger, who really worked hard to pull together the resources and provide us with the guidance to be able to do this. We look forward to the construction and the design. And I know that that will be a great day when we are able to have, as Mr. Brooks said, the statistics of, we will be able to say there are no more deaths on the Golden Gate Bridge. So thank you all. And with that, I would like to call the question and take this action. So All in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries unanimously, and thank you all. So back, I'd like to turn back to Commissioner Glover for the remainder of his committee presentation.
Okay, the next item that's before us today is Resolution 41-33, 41-33, 41, 43-41-44, revised 41-45, revised, and 41-46, revised. This revises the 2014-15 fund estimate and allocates $239 million to the 2014-15 Transportation Development Act Fund, State Transit Assistance Fund, Assembly Bill 1107 funds, and Regional Measure 2 Operating and Capital Funds to FAST, San Francisco, MTA, SoTran, Sonoma County, and VTA to support transit operation. And I would move approval of MTC resolutions 41-33 revised, 41-43 revised, 41-44 revised, and 41-45 revised, and 41-46 revised.
Second. Thank you, Commissioner Glover, and that was seconded by Commissioner Campos. All right, I have no speaker cards on this. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Right now, we'll turn to now the report of the Legislation Committee. I'd like to turn to Committee Chair Hagerty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The very exciting Legislative Committee met on July 11th, 2014, and referred the following items to the Commission for its approval. Alameda County Transportation sales tax increase would augment and extend the existing half-cent sales tax transportation measure by a half-cent through 2014, from 2014 through 2045, providing nearly $8 billion in new transportation funding for Alameda County. I move approval to support the Alameda County Transportation sales tax measure.
Second.
And moved by Commissioner Hagerty and seconded by Commissioner Geary. Is there any further discussion? All right. I know that we had this came before the Alameda Airport Legislation Committee, a lot of kudos and thank yous to Alameda County for going forward. Hearing the conversation earlier today about the dearth of federal funding as well as state funding for transportation, this local self-help initiative is really significant in terms of providing transportation investment in our region. So thank you to Commissioner Hagerty. Commissioner Glover, have a comment? Okay. All right. With that then, I have no public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Transportation 2030 San Francisco November 2014 bond measure is a $500 million general obligation bond measure.
Can you speak up a little bit?
You know what? We'll see if this works. Transportation 2030, San Francisco, November 2014, bond measure is a $500 million general obligation bond measure for transportation purposes on San Francisco's November 2014 ballot. I move approval to support the Transportation 2030, San Francisco, November 2014 bond measure.
Okay, that's moved and seconded by Commissioner Wiener. Is there any further discussion? Okay, and again, I think this represents a local commitment to transportation funding. Commissioner Wiener?
So thank you. So over the last period of more than a year, we had a very broad-based transportation task force to start really grappling with how we're going to locally fund our massive transportation needs. There were three recommendations that came out, the bond being one of them, and that's what's moving forward in November. The task force also recommended a vehicle license fee, which Mark Leno spent 10 years getting through the legislature to give us the option of doing that with those funds to be used for road resurfacing and muni capital needs. Unfortunately, due to some political disagreements within San Francisco, that got delayed 2 years. So that will appear on the November 2016 ballot. So this is all very important. I will also just note that yesterday I had authored a charter amendment that the board chose to place on the ballot for November that will tie the MTA's baseline to population growth. So it'll be in the first year, it'll go back 10 years. And so it'll be an immediate $22 million boost to the agency to improve the capacity, reliability, and frequency of the system. And so we have some good things happening locally in San Francisco.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Wiener. Are there any other comments on this? I have no speaker cards. Therefore, I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. AB 1864, Daily. Temporary license plate bill study requires the Department of Motor Vehicles in consultation with the California Highway Patrol to conduct an assessment of the need to adopt a new temporary vehicle identification system. If the DMV determines that there is such a need, the bill requires DMV to examine the costs and benefits of at least four different types of temporary vehicle identification systems. Finally, the bill requires the DMV in consultation with the CHP to make a recommendation to the legislature by January 2016 as to whether the state should implement a new system. I move approval to adopt an oppose unless amended position on AB 1864 Daily.
Second. All right, that's been moved by Committee Chair Hegarty and seconded by Commissioner Geary. Is there any further discussion on this item? Okay with that. All in favor? Aye. Any opposition? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. And we will now move on to public comment. And I have one speaker card, please. I'd like to invite Andre Carpio to come forward.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Commissioner, my name is Andre Carpio. I come on behalf of CX Engineer, the company I represent. My point is, it is very emotional to hear about all this bridge suicide. And there is a psychological debate about it. And this is not really my point. But what I'm going to bring here is that I have insisted about the fate of the homeless. And at the last meeting, I did ask to see if a toilet system, sanitary condition, should be implemented by the road system, in which, as you know, all the homeless gather to get shelter. Those who have not found shelter or those who have been booted out of the shelter for whatever reason. And this is very tragic. You have to realize that the situation of the homeless are similar to those who have ended up their life or by whatever mean. And this is a situation in which they are powerless. That's why they are homeless. So you should look into it. This is a very grave problem. It's a social disease that you just cannot look at it and say, well, it's this, it's that, and find fault to them. You could do that with the people who committed suicide, but this is not an answer. And so if the funds are not appropriated to provide sanitation system for the homeless, and there is a lot of it, and the majority of them are women, you are doing a bad thing here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. With that, we will adjourn the meeting to our next meeting, which will be Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. And thank you very much.